I'll let you off. How are we all doing? Have you had a good week? We'll get there. Coughing, sicking, not me, everyone else. Where last man standing properly is Ben, I'm crouching. But we're getting there, and we'll all be okay. And it'll be good. That's why half of them are missing today. Awesome. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. You know, I really believe the year ahead is going to be a great year. There are lots of things going on. Lots of things to get involved in. Lots of things to do. And as a church, we need to do, not some of us. Okay? I've said this before. There has been a rule in the church for many years. They call it the 80-20 rule, which I hate. Right? And it's the thing that 20% of the people in the church do all the work. And 80% of the people do nothing. I don't believe that's true here. But you know what? I want to smash that rule. I want us to be a church that is involved. A church that is serving. Not just here on a Sunday morning, but every day. A church that is serving our town, our community, every single day. Awesome. Who's excited about the year to come? You don't even know what's happening yet, but I'm sure God has spoken to you in different ways about the things that He has for you, the plans and the visions that He has for you. I'm just going to start off with this before we get into the vision for the year. And it's this. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson go on a camping trip. After a good dinner and a bottle of wine, they retire for the night and go to sleep. Some hours later, Holmes wakes up and asks his faithful friend Watson, "Look up at the sky and tell me what you see." "I see millions and millions of stars, Holmes," replies Watson. "And what do you deduce from that?" Watson thinks for a minute. "Well, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observed that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduced that the time is approximately 3:15. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are a small and an insignificant part of the universe." "What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes is silent for a minute. "Watson, you idiot," he says. "Someone has stolen our tent." Why did I share that? It was funny. I laughed when I read it. Why did I share it? What do you see? What do you see? See, Watson, Holmes asked him a simple question. Watson came up with all these massive words, described them all, gave him reasons for what he was seeing. And Holmes just wanted the answer. Sometimes we go to God and we're looking for an answer. Sometimes we just go to God and say, "Speak to me, Lord." But the thing is, what gets in the way are all our thoughts and everything else on what we think God is trying to show us. Well, actually, he was just trying to show Watson that the tent had been nicked. And that's what we have when we have vision. When we look for vision for our lives, vision for the church, sometimes we let everything else come in and cloud or tent what we can see. And what we need is a clear vision for the church and a clear vision for
for our own lives. So as we look at the vision for the year ahead, it's important to see where it ties into the overall vision of the church. So what I'm going to tell you today is I'm going to tell you some stuff. Some screens are going to come up here just to help you focus. All it is our background with a word. Okay, there. And then I'm going to talk about that word, and then I'm going to show you where it ties into our vision. Some of the things that we're looking at over this year will tie into different things in our overall vision. Okay? Sorry, I've jumped ahead. We have six words. When we took the church on in August 2012, we have six words. And they are pivotal to our vision. And what I'm going to speak about today is different things for this year, and then show you where they tie into each of the words, okay, that is for our vision. Some tie into to multiple, others just tie into one. The words that you will see go up are words that God gave me and Tammy when he gave us a picture of what church would look like that we lead. And we're not there yet. We're a work in progress. Okay? Every church is a work in progress because no church is perfect. And the reason no church is perfect is because me and you are in it. Okay? That's why no church is ever perfect. No matter what we might think, no church is ever perfect. There will always be something to improve on. So let's have a look at the year ahead. First of all, I'd like to apologise. The reason I'd like to apologise is this. We tended to do our Vision Day in September or October in the years leading up to 2016. And in 2016, I laid out the vision for the year ahead until September, October 2017. But what we didn't foresee was situation in health for me. And so some of the stuff that you will see today, you may have heard before in 2016. The vision hasn't changed. God hasn't said, you're not going to do that. God has said, I still want you to do it. Actually, you just haven't made it happen yet. And there are also some new stuff for this year that I want to share with you. So I apologise now if some of the stuff you might go, well, I remember from 2016 that Stuart shared a little bit about that, but we never did that. But we are going to this year. So this year, first one, we're going to relaunch our Foundations course. Foundation course is for new Christians and new people to our church. It's about how we should live as a Christian. And in particularly to this church. Okay? That's what the foundation course is about. It's a 6-week course. It will happen on a Monday night. But it is a 6-week course looking at six different aspects of being a Christian. Okay? Partnership. Some churches do membership. We wanted the word partnership because we felt it was more encompassing. We felt, instead of just a member, actually being a partner means you are partnering with the church, with Restore Church, in who we are and what we do, okay, in this town and in this borough. We ran the whole church through it when we first did it, over 3 weeks partnership. And all it's going to be is a 2-hour course, probably at my house, for those who've never done it before. And we'll have some dinner together, and we'll do a 2-hour over 2 weeks. So it'll be an hour 1 week, an hour another week. And we'll just do partnership. Talk about what being a partner means, what it looks like in specific to this church. And then we will have a Partner Sunday. So Partner Sunday will be... The people who want to be partners, who have done the partnership course, have done the foundation course,
We'll come up, we'll go, yay, we'll pray over them, welcome in as partners, and then we'll eat together. So that'd be a really nice day. There's always a reason to eat in church. If you are interested in being a partner or interested in the foundation course, please come and speak to me at the end, okay? Because then we can sort out some dates of when we can run them. Excuse me. Teen days. No, there we go. Teen days. Teen days. Teen days are for people who are already serving on team in church or in the week in church, or for people that want to be in a team and serve either Sunday mornings or during the week, different things that we do. It's going to be a really good morning. We're going to hold the first one on the 12th of May at Station Street Building in the morning. Okay, just going to be a morning together. There'll be some teaching. We'll spend some time together, tea and coffee, maybe get some pastries in. But it'll be a good morning. Looking at what team is, timings for people, just some logistical stuff as well within that. But it'll be a good morning. So if you want to serve or you already are serving on a team, put this date in your diary. It is May the 12th, 9 o'clock in the morning at Station Street. Okay, it's just the morning. Okay, if you have children, we'll sort something out for childcare. Okay, it'll be good. Okay, the marriage course. The marriage course. We start in September. Where did I put it? First Monday in September. Monday evening will be the marriage course. It will be with a dinner, and it's a really good course. I think some of us have done it. Kat and Rick done it. Me and Tammy done it. Esther and Adrian did it. It's a really good course, okay? It's for those of you who have been married for 2 years or more. You can have been married for 50 years. The marriage course is a really good thing to go on, okay? It's a really good thing to go on. There's no getting up the front and telling about your partner or what they've done to you or how good they are or how wonderful. It's all done on a DVD from some really good people, and you sit together as a couple and you have a workbook and you go through it and you have your answers and your partner has their answers, and then you go off for 5 minutes and discuss your answers, okay? And it's about different things over 7 weeks. And it's a really good course. Seriously, if you're married, get on this course, okay, for September. Don't come and talk to me after this service, because September's a long way off. But we will keep talking about it. And if you want to do the marriage course, seriously, let me encourage you. Me and Tammy, we ran the marriage course, and it was the first time we did it. Okay? And we were like, wow, this is really good. I didn't know you felt that way about some things. It's very good. It's very good for your marriage. It's awesome. So that's all part of, next one, being foundational as a church. Okay? The marriage course sits in foundational and community as well. Because once we start running the church through it, we're going to start opening it up to the town. Because you know what? We don't have Relate in Boston anymore. So we need to do something as a church. You know, it is a Christian thing, but it's not overtly Christian in the material. And it's very good. They say a prayer at the beginning, a prayer at the end, and that's it. But it's a really, really good thing. This all ties into our vision in the word foundational. And originally, when we came and we spelt out the vision for church, is that we need to be a church that is foundational in what we believe and what we say. So the foundation course, partnership, team days to teach people about serving God, is all foundational stuff. It's stuff that we need in our lives.
the marriage course. Who wants a good marriage? Who wants a good marriage? I don't care if you've got a good marriage now or not. Who wants a good marriage? I want a good marriage. You know, get on the marriage course. It's a really good thing. We need to know what the Bible says. In all these teachings that we do, these things that I've said we're going to do over this year, it all comes from the Bible. What does the Bible say? We need to know that Christ died for our sins. We need to know what we believe. Like there's only one way to heaven. Knowing Jesus is the only way. It doesn't matter how good you have been or how much you come to church. You need to know Jesus. In this church, we will always preach and teach Jesus. We'll always preach the whole of the Bible, because from front to back in the Bible, it's all about Jesus. Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is God's word, and it is all we need. 2 Timothy 3. Next one. Sorry, I didn't put the 2 on, did I? Go up. Oh, I missed the 2 off. That's fine. 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17 says this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man and woman, doesn't say that in my Bible, so we're going to add, because man and woman, okay, of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that's what we're here for, isn't it? To be made complete in Jesus. You know? We need to know what Jesus says, how that impacts our lives, so that we can be all that we are meant to be in God. We have to understand what the Bible says about Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us. He is the firstborn. He was in the beginning at creation. We need to understand who we are and where we stand when it comes to Jesus. We need to know the hard and the easy stuff. Because the easy stuff to do is easy. You know, it's easy. We can walk along and do that for life. That's really cool. I can do that easy. But when it says, don't do that any longer, that's challenging, isn't it? No? The Bible doesn't challenge you. It does. I'm glad some of us. You can speak back. The Bible can be challenging. It challenges behaviours and beliefs. Every part of the Bible. There is no book in the Bible that will not speak into your life. Okay, something we haven't done for a long while. Prayer and fasting. We will start to have a week of prayer and fasting again. We are starting it this month. That's like letting you know, isn't it? Prayer and fasting starts this month. In fact, it starts on the 16th of April. So not this Monday. Monday week. Until Friday the 20th. All prayer meetings will be during the day except the Tuesday night one, which will be at 6:30 on Tuesday night. All the others will be different times during the day. The 7 o'clock in the meeting prayer in the morning prayer meeting on a Thursday will be a prayer meeting that morning, that week. For the prayer and fasting week. There are lots of things that we can pray into as a church. If you're going to be leading a meeting, I will let you know this week coming, very early, Monday or Tuesday. I will let you know that you're leading the meeting and what you're leading the meeting on, what I want you to pray into. So, I'll let you know Monday or Tuesday. Restore groups. Restore groups are changing. Okay?
We need to revitalise them. Be truthful, be honest. How many people go to a restore group that are here? So there's a lot of people that don't. Okay?
We're going to change them.
We're going to make them geographical. You see, originally I wanted to do that. I wanted to make geographical restore groups. But we didn't have the people at first to do that. To lead a restore group geographically across the town. Okay? But we're going to change it. Not having a women's group, we're not having a men's group. We're going to have geographical restore groups. In the next couple of weeks, I will put on the back who will be leading the restore groups, where they are, and then we'll do a map to show you what restore group you're in. Okay? Because I want you to go to the closest one to you. This is important. You see, one of the things from the restore groups was that I wanted us to do outreach as part of a restore group. But if we're all from different parts of Boston and outside of Boston, how can we reach our local community as a restore group? Well, actually, if we've got a restore group in this street here, and we have lots of people that live in this street, and maybe you come from the next street or the street over or wherever, but that's your restore group. You're in a community. Not only is your restore group a community, but your community is your community. Which means invite them to restore group. Have some food. Make them a cup of tea. You're allowed more than one at a restore group. Just because you might get one at the beginning, you can have one halfway through, it doesn't matter, you can have as many as you want. Restore groups can look how the person leads them wants to look, as long as they're looking at the teaching from the Sundays, there's pastoral care, there's praying for each other, and there's outreach. That's how we want the restore groups to look. So it's important that you get into a restore group nearest to you. Really important. As a church, we should be up in the... Actually, we should be at the 100% of people getting into a restore group. But for now, I'll take 80%. At the moment, we're probably at about 40%. But you know what? It's where the pastoral care of this church will come from. Restore groups. Small groups. As the church grows, we have a need for small groups. And small groups bring better care. Better care. Because you know what? In a small group, you build friendships. You build community. That doesn't mean we become little cliques. We're all part of the same church. But they're important. So over the next month or two, we'll give you locations and what small group you're in. Because they are spread over the town. That comes under the word committed. Not that you need to be committed to somewhere, an institution, but that you are committed. Okay? We need to be a church, always be careful when you say this, that is committed. Okay? Committed to prayer. We have lots of prayer meetings. There's Sunday morning. There's Tuesday nights. There's Thursday mornings. There's Wednesday mornings if you've got time to go and pray. That's most of the morning. You can go in the church building and just go in the room. There's some people that already pray. Don't let a prayer become a shopping list, though. Use the Lord's Prayer as an example. We need to be praying for each other. For the leaders of our church. We could always do with it. Pray for us as a family.
counsellors need praying for. Our MPs need to be prayed for. Our church needs to be prayed for. Our community, our town, our borough, our county, our country, our queen, the royal family. They all need to be prayed for. Even if you hate the Prime Minister's politics, the governing party's politics, you need to pray for them. If you vote Labour, and as we know, Conservative in, you need to pray for them. Not pray for them to get out, but you need to be praying for them to be godly. Same with the other way round. I don't say Liberal because they'll never get in. Sorry. Committed to God's word. You need to get to a restore group. You need to get here Sunday mornings. And you need to get to a restore group. We need to be committed to our own personal time with God. Our own personal time of reflection and study. As I said when before, we need to know that what we know is right. And we can only discover what is right by reading our Bible prayerfully. Prayerfully. Anyone can read the Bible and take something in there out of context. We need to read the Bible correctly. Find out what the context of what we're reading is. We need to be committed to each other. We need to love each other unconditionally. Jesus loves us unconditionally. God loves us unconditionally. We need to put our own egos aside, our own wants and needs, and put others first. We can't be people walking around in this town, in this place. Well, they hurt me. And I'm just going to act up now. And I'm not going to talk to them for months. And I'm not going to do this. And I'm going to be like that. Because they was like that to me. That's ego. We need to be a church of no ego. No ego. Ego just creates problems. Ego creates issues. This is how I see a church. Foundational. Committed. Committed to this house. The church is the storehouse. This is where you're spiritually fed, looked after emotionally, cared for. You know, when you're in need, what do you do? Do you try and find someone from church? When you're not in need, do you still do the same? We find all that we need in Jesus. And Jesus said that the hope of the world is the local church. We need to bring our first fruits into the church. That's time and money. It's time and money. We need to give to God what is rightfully His. That's really important. It's not so I can have a big salary and a nice flash car, just like a car that works. But it's so that the work of God can be done. Some good news. That's all good news, isn't it? Really. We move on. Bring in Share. He's coming back. Maybe we shouldn't. There's not many, too many people are excited by that one. The Bring and Share meal is coming back. We're going to start doing it the last Sunday of the month. Starting this month. The last Sunday of the month. Is that the 28th or the 29th? The last Sunday of the month will be a Bring and Share meal. But it will be bi-monthly. Everyone know what bi-monthly means? Every other month, okay? Will be a bring and share meal. And you know,
It's not about, which is one of the reasons why we stopped it, it's not about being the first one up there and grabbing some food. The idea behind Bring and Share was the reason why I wanted us to do it in the first place. Because it was some time to spend together. You know, we've spoken a lot lately about eating a meal. Tammy used it quite a bit in her Easter stuff. And just coming around the table together to eat a meal. To just share your food with someone else. It's really important. It's really important stuff. You know what would be really good? Because I know sometimes we can have some friendship groups in church. But to actually go and sit with someone else that maybe may never have even spoken to before. You might have just done this. Go and take some food and sit with them. Talk with them. Be a family. Because that's what families do, isn't it? So Bring and Share is coming back. Any questions on Bring and Share? Or if you need reminding of when it is, Esther Simpson will be looking after it, okay? She's going to send out reminders to say, bring some food, bring and share. If you have no idea, she might be able to tell you what you might want to cook, because she's going to try and keep that going. That's going to be really good. This is something really interesting. Next one. Can anyone tell me what that says? I know I've put it in slanty sort of writing. PAIS team, P-A-I-S, PAIS team. It was started in 1992. When in those days we had a thing called, it's gone right out of my head now, ACE teams. And when the thing called ACE teams, and that was young people paid £3,000 a year, which is quite a lot of money, to go and be abused by churches, really. To be sent out, trained, and then sent out in teams of three or four for 3 months at a time to different churches all over the world. And they were fantastic. My old church in London, we had a couple of teams. The churches got them for free, and you housed them for 3 months. So a family took one or two, whichever you can. And when that ended, PAIS started. And they no longer charged the young people to come and do it, which I think is excellent, because that means, you know, you might not come from somewhere where they've got wealth. So actually just being able to give your time and serve God for a year. And they do a 3-year course. I want to get a team here. I want to get a team here. They'll help Christine with youth. They'll be able to get into the college. They'll be able to get into the schools, because that's what they do. And you know what? We can affect young people that would never come to church by sending these people out. And you know what? We get them for a year. We get them for a school year. Okay? We have to take a couple of offerings up for them during the year. And we have to make sure they're housed. Okay? We've got a vehicle we can let them use. That's not a problem. They can use mine. But this is something that we've been thinking about for over a year. PAIS team. They'll be here every Sunday. They'll serve. They'll be part of the teams. They'll come and help the kids team. They'll help the youth team. Fantastic. So I really want us to get this in. PAIS team by September. I'm already in conversation with a guy who heads it up. 7 days a week we'll have the use of them. 52 weeks of the year. Be awesome. Okay. Revive nights. I haven't put it up there, I don't think. I added it at 11:30 last night. Revive nights. So me and Simon, who is the pastor at the AOG Church in Grimsby, Willows Community Church, have been meeting and just had a heart to do something bigger. So what we've come upon is we do our powerhouse the first Sunday of the month. So what we want to do is three times a year, we're going to come together, two churches. We're going to start inviting other churches from our town when we're here. And when we go to Grimsby once a year, we'll invite all the churches in that local area. And then we want to start widening it out to other churches in between us and Grimsby, like Louth and places like that, so that we can pray. The reason why we're thinking about calling it Revive is revival for us, revive the church in general, and revival for the people. That's our heart, to see revival. Now the thing is, as one church, we've got a really good... I want you to imagine this. We've got a really big coastline, okay? Big beaches, haven't we? Right? So, as one person, me being a church, or, you know, just think of me as the church for a moment, I go on the sand, and I can pick up things that shouldn't be on there, rubbish, right? And I just do this on my own, okay? I'm not going to get very far, am I? But you imagine churches all along our coastline praying together. It'd be like having bulldozers on the beach picking up the rubbish, affecting communities, affecting people's lives, praying together, outreach together, just doing things together. So we're going to start doing that three times a year. This year will only be twice because of the time that we've got to now. But we're going to do the first one in July, and that will be here in Boston. I'm really excited about that. Really excited, because we're not alone. There are many churches that will get involved, and we'll pray together and pray for our nation and pray for our communities and pray for our county, pray for our towns. Really, really, really exciting. Anyone excited, or is it just me? Is that right? Yeah, it's all right. It's cool. Next month, as I said before, we used to do our vision days in September or October, and we've changed it to now, just to fit in with a tax year and stuff like that, really. I think it's a really good time to actually do it now at this time of year. But what we want to start doing is having a yearly big offering. I know we do tithes, I know we do offerings on every Sunday and every month, but once a year I want us to sow into church and our community. So we're going to take a big offering once a year. The first one we're going to do is next month, okay? The first one we're going to do is on the 6th of May, alright? It's sowing into this vision. Because you know what? The vision costs. The vision costs. It's not free. The vision costs money, okay? As much as we would love, as Christians, for everything to be free, it never is. And the only way that things are sustainable is if we pay for it. So we're going to do a big offering on the 6th of May, and that will be every year that we're going to do it. This all ties into our word community. Community being community focused. We need to live in community. I said it last week, we have a shining example of community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They live in community with one another, needing each other, loving each other, fulfilling one another. We need to be a people who are in community with each other. And through being in community with each other, we will put others first. Care for them. Dare I say, even love them. There's no differing of language, nationality, or colour in God. He loves us all the same, and that is how we are to be. If we live our lives like this, then we will reach out to the community, the town around us. We don't want to be, look at me, look at me, look at me. Whatever we do, we want to be pointing to Jesus and look at him,
Look at him. Look at him. There's a story in the Bible about in Luke 10, 25-37. And in it, a solicitor says to Jesus, "Who's my neighbour?" It's the Good Samaritan. And the lawyer sought to limit who his neighbour was, to limit who he could show love to, just to who he could be in community with. Jesus said he must give unselfish and unlimited assistance to anyone in need, even someone who might hurt his reputation. We should never be frightened of hurting our reputation if we're doing good. Jesus wasn't. He got accused of all sorts of things, and we need to be like Jesus. That doesn't mean go down the road getting high on drugs. That means going to talk to the drug taker, the drug dealer, and sharing Jesus with them. We can't be people who ask, "What is due to me?" but rather, "What can I do for you, for someone else?" We have to be in community with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, people in church, and the people around us. If we don't, I've said this before, we'll have nice little services for a while, and then we'll die. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. And that's really important for a church. So many years, churches have always specialised on the spiritual life of someone. But actually, there's more to someone than the spiritual. There's the emotional, there's the physical. And we need to be a church that help in all of that. Economical. We need to be a church that helps in all of that. Okay. Let me just share something about Station Street. He worked. Station Street. It's a lovely little building on Station Street. But you know what? We just feel that we need to put it to work so that the glory of God may be seen there. So at the moment, and I tried to load them up on here and it wouldn't work, we've had some drawings done. And the plan for Station Street is this. We're going to knock down the old sheds bit at the back with the asbestos roof. That'll all be gone correctly. And in its place will be a 2.5-storey building. Inside the actual church building part, the ceiling will be lowered. And upstairs, in the new part and upstairs above the church building bit, will be 8 flats for women. Okay? Women that need somewhere to live. Women with kids, women on their own. We've got a house for men. Now we're going to do something for the ladies in this town. Good. Glad someone said amen. It's important. It's important. It really is. So at the moment, drawings are being done and being readied to send in to Boston Borough Council for planning permission. It's really good. It's going to be really good. You see, we can't put the men and ladies in the same house. We've only got 4 bedrooms. But this place will have 4 single rooms, a lounge, kitchen, dining, and then 2 double rooms with their own facilities in. So be able to put 8 people in there, 8 ladies, which will be absolutely fantastic. And that comes under restoration. We need to be a place where people are restored. Restored to God. When you're restored to God, restored to the person that you're meant to be. Okay? We are to be a place of restoration, not just the church and buildings, for each one of us is to be a place of restoration. Not only for non-Christians, and not only for our town or for our church, but for everybody. We need to help people reconnect with God, find healing spiritually, physically, and emotionally. A place of support, where people will come knowing this is a place of restoration, where God is to be found, where grace is to be found. We need to be salt and light to our community. And we need to be a sanctuary. Our church needs to be a sanctuary. What's a sanctuary? A shelter from danger or hardship. Asylum, refuge. Harbour, a place of refuge and comfort and security. A safe hold, a refuge from attack. Safe house, a house used as a hiding place or refuge by members of certain organisations. A shelter, a structure that provides privacy and protection from danger. To me, this place, us, this people, should be somewhere where people can come and be safe. Be safe. Where people care enough to know your name. Where people care enough to put their hearts in your hands and know it won't get trampled on. Keep saying this, it's just so important. So that people can come alongside someone and help. A place where people feel safe because it's family. Not a human idea of family, but God's idea of family. Loving, caring, sharing, showing grace and mercy to one another. Allowing people to be who they were designed and destined to be by God. Where loving and caring are not just for our closest of friends, but for everyone. That's why we preach this stuff a lot. We need to get it right. We need to be a sanctuary for all people. To facilitate all this, we need a building. A sanctuary. Somewhere people can come for restoration. Where our community can come into and where we can go out from. Because a sanctuary also needs to be a place of resource. It needs to be the place that resources us to go out. So let me just give you a quick update on the land. So, I've been waiting eagerly this week for a text, and it hasn't come yet. But the text is what has come. Is that they're just waiting for the reply from the NHS from an internal meeting they've had. So basically, where we are at this stage is the NHS has just said, well, this is God, okay? So when I was in hospital, I was like, come on, tell me. I need to know what's going on. So I texted the guys and they said, oh, we wanted to leave you alone while you were in hospital, and I said, just tell me what's going on. So they said, well, apparently there's this supermarket that have come up and want to be involved in the land and do the land themselves and buy the land. So the NHS, said, don't worry, we're not going to sell them the land, they're not going to be involved. Then a week later, they said, we want £300,000 off you now as a deposit instead of the £50,000, and we want it by tomorrow. So the guy said, well, let's have a meeting. So then on the Friday, they got a message saying, actually, we're going to sell it to the supermarket. We want nothing more to do with you. So I was like, okay. But I had a real peace about it. I really did feel at peace. The whole team had a peace about it, of saying, you know, what God starts, God finishes. And so we left it with God. And occasionally, one of the guys, Paris, who heads it up for us, would email the NHS guys. How's it going? Have you finalised on your deal yet? So he did that in January. And this was a conversation that me and Paris had on the phone. We said, I really doubt there's actually a supermarket involved here, because they haven't heard from them. They haven't said what supermarket it is. And we believe it's the agent of the estate agents doing it. So he was like, yeah, I've got that feeling. So then he emailed the NHS and said, how's it going? The guy phoned him straight back and said, the deals fell through. We believe there never was a supermarket involved. We believe the estate agent made it all up to try and get more money. And we was like, wow, God was really clear with us there. So we said, okay, do you want to do the deal still? So our guy said, yeah, of course we want to do the deal. Now, originally we was going to pay him $1.45 million for the land. Not us, them. So the guy said, you're originally going to pay that. We want you to pay $1.2 million. So our guy said, well, why don't we pay $1 million instead? And they said, no, they won't go for $1 million, but they'll go for $1.1 million. It's a deal. We'll do it. So now we're just going to buy the land. We're not waiting for a contract to have the mental health unit on there from the NHS. We're just going to buy the land for $1.1 million. So at the moment, the contracts are all being made up. So just buy the land. And then once we got it, we'll get on with it. So we're just waiting for a call at the moment, over this next week, to say the NHS have done the contract, it's going through, and we can get on with buying the land. Is that good? It's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. You know what? God is amazing. When God says something, he caps it through. You know, the enemy tries to get in the way and postpone or cancel out what you do. Because he wants the church, individually and as a whole, to be going, did God really say that? God couldn't do that. God can't do that. Does God really love us? Because he would do that and he would make it happen now. But you know what? God is faithful and God is true. That's what I love about my God. He's awesome. So the land is happening. We're just waiting for contracts now to buy the land. I might even ask them, I'm going to be cheeky when it goes through, and say to them, look, can you flatten it all now? And then see if we can get planning permission for a temporary building? Just for us to go on so we could have church there now? I think it's worth the question, isn't it? It only costs them an extra £100,000 on top of the £37 million they're going to spend on the land. It's good, isn't it? I think it's worth asking. Okay. All the updates done. And then we're going to finish. And then we're going to take communion. Let me just say, just as a round up. As a church, we're not here to just sing songs. As a church, we're not here just to pray. As a church, we're not here to just get fat heads on teaching and not do anything with it. As a church, we are a light shining in the darkness. A light that doesn't shine on us, but a light that shows people where Jesus is. You see, it's not about us. It's not about anything about us. Everything we are, everything we do as Christians must point to Jesus. And if our life isn't that way, then we need a fresh revelation of who Jesus is and what he came for. You see, God is always refining us. If you want a gardening term, God is always pruning us, making us healthier, making us ready for more growth. Refining gets rid of everything that's impure. When they refine gold, the fire's hot, and the gold goes in, and the impurities are burnt away. Sometimes the fire around God is hot. Sometimes the fire around God is hot. And it's because there's some stuff in our lives that he wants to get rid of. stuff that's clung to us, stuff that's made home in our lives that we don't need. God will get rid of it and to enable you to live life fully. Sometimes we get close to the fire and we go, oh, I don't like that, because God's touching some stuff in my life right now and I really like that in my life. I don't want to go anywhere near that fire, because if I go near that fire, God might change me. You know what? God says, come as you are. That's very true. But God loves us so much that he's never going to leave you as you come. He will always change you into what he sees you being, which is something that glorifies him. And he'll do that with a church. Sometimes he strips away. Sometimes he brings. Sometimes we're challenged to think differently, to live differently, to get rid of all the stuff that just is part of us, or who we think is part of us. All the stuff that we don't want to let go of. Let me just say something as I close. I love you. Okay? Listen. I do not say it lightly. If you talk to Tammy, it is a word I've never loved using. Alright? I don't say it often. It's not something I throw about. But I love you. As your pastor, I love you. Okay? I want the best for you. I want the best for this church. Okay? Now, I've made many friends in church. But let me just tell you something. Something that's just happened inside of me over the last months. And it's this. I love you and I want to be your friends. But I'm not willing to leave you as you are. Okay? I'm going to start rubbing some of you up the wrong way. Because there's some stuff in your life that needs to change. Okay? But I'm willing to do it. That doesn't mean I love you any less. Actually, it means I love you more. Because my job is to bring you closer to Jesus. My job is to be a light that shows the way to Jesus. That's my job. To raise you up to be the men and women of God that you are designed and destined to be. My job. So sometimes I'm going to ruffle your feathers. I might even get in your face a little bit. Just to go, seriously? You think that's right? I have people that can do that to me, don't worry. And they often do. But that's my job in this church. Because I want to see you grow. I want to see the glory of God in each one of us. Each one of us. To serve and be the people of God that he has designed and destined us to be. Because you know what? He's awesome. And that's the only reason. Because he's awesome. And he loves us. And he wants the best for us. And he's put me here to do that. So that's what I'm going to do. So I apologise now if I do that to you. But it's because I love you. And I want the best for you. The marriage course might even ruffle a few feathers. Foundation course may ruffle a few feathers. Partnership may ruffle a few feathers. Everything we do may ruffle a few feathers. But I love you. At the bottom of that. I love this town. which is why God gives us the vision for this town. Because we want to see the glory of God in this town. You know, last week we celebrated Easter. And we celebrated the death and the resurrection of Jesus. He died for us, not to continue in our own ways, but to grow more like him each and every day. That's why he went on the cross. That's why he came out of the tomb, so that we can be more like him every day. That's why, so that the church can glorify his name. So let's be a church that glorifies his name. I've said this before, let's be the church that people don't go, oh, there's the Christians, they're the ones who tell us what we can do, what we can't do, they're the ones, tell me I'm wearing something too short or too low, or my jeans are too skinny, or my hair's too spiky, you won't ever have that problem with me, or whatever. But let's be the church that everyone says, that person goes to that church, and that person was the one who sat with my granny or my mum or my dad while they were dying in the hospital. I've said this before. Let's be the church that are known for feeding, we already are, for feeding the poor. Let's be a church that are known for prayer, that are known for worship that comes from the heart because it's deep felt. Let's be a church that are known for loving people beyond compare. You may slap me, but I'm still going to love you. You may punch me, it'll hurt, but I'm still going to love you. I haven't found many people that want to, but I'm still going to love you. I'm sad someone got that. Let's be a church that loves. Let's be a church that glorifies the name of God. Let's all just stand. It was a bit longer than I intended to this morning, and I'm sorry for that. Let's just lift our hands and our heads and our eyes to him this morning. Lord, I love your name. I love you. Jesus, you are awesome. You are awesome. You were there in the beginning and you'll be there at the end. You are the Alpha and Omega. Lord, we want to be a church that praises your name in word and deed, because that's what praise is, not just what we do on a Sunday morning or when we pray, but Lord, when we do. Lord, I want to be a church that remembers what you did for us each and every day. In our homes. In your homes, take communion. Remember what Jesus has done for us every day. And then out of that, take that and impact the people that are around you. Be light in this world. Lord, we thank you. Can't stop saying it, you're awesome. So majestic. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you went on the cross for us. That you paid the ransom so that we can be free. So that we can help set others free. So that we may be the people of God that you have called us to be. Thank you, Lord. When you're ready.